Brad, what have you done now?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. Hey, this is a, I hit too many buttons there. This is your 2019 Elimination Chamber special, live from Houston, Texas, the place where the event took place, if you will. What's up, everybody? My name is Brad Gilmore. If you don't know who I am, it's the first time you're hearing the show. I am the co-host of Booker T's Heated Conversations on Sports Radio 610 on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. Also, one half of the broadcast team from Reality of Wrestling, as well as other things. But that's those are the main ones that I feel like I should cover for the sake of this podcast. But anyway, Houston, Texas was the home of the Elimination Chamber this year, and boy, was it a great show. I was there live in person. Myself and Booker T were supposed to go down there, do a couple of interviews backstage. Didn't really turn out that way. Booker, man is swamped, man. The man is swamped. He had a lot to do, but we had a great time. The night before, we had Sam Roberts from the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, Sirius XM, you know, Jim and Sam. We had Sam Roberts on the show for the entire length of the show. If you want to go to iTunes, check that out. Sam Roberts, great guy. Didn't appreciate him and Booker ragging on my facial hair or lack thereof. But nevertheless, let's talk about the show that we just saw, because it is, what, February? We've had the Royal Rumble. And is this the second pay-per-view of the year? I think that it is. We had the Royal Rumble. You had Halftime Heat, but I don't think that's a pay-per-view. So I think this was the second show of the year. Elimination Chamber 2019. I got to say, guys, this was a thumbs all the way up show for me. I thought that everybody on this show worked so hard from the opening pre-show match all the way until the main event. And I got to say, being there in person, a lot of the times when you're there in person, it can change your opinion of the show. Like, I go back to Dallas, Texas. What was that, 2016 for WrestleMania 32? I was there live, and I thought that was one of the best shows I'd ever seen, ever. And then I get online, and I see that most people pan that as a terrible WrestleMania. I still don't agree with that fact, but I was in the minority of that one. A lot of people didn't like the show. So when you're in the building, a lot of the times it's difficult to get a real gauge on what the masses at home thought about the show. But I'll tell you right now, from being in the building, from top to bottom, that was one of the better WWE pay-per-views in recent memory. I liked it more than the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble is normally my favorite show of the year. We had seven matches on the card. It started a little bit early here in Houston. It started at 6. I guess that's a new time for pay-per-views. Doors were at 4. So I was there for a good six hours or something like that. Yeah, about 6 hours, five and a half hours. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, even from the opening pre-show match, which was Buddy Murphy versus Akira Tozawa, those guys, man, they ripped the house. This is how I knew it was going to be a good night. In Houston, not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but we're always typically a good show, like a good show for WWE. We enjoy wrestling here in Houston, and it's more of a traditional town. And what I mean by that is the heels get booed and the baby faces get cheered. I know it's kind of a weird concept, but that's more often than not what happens in Houston. So this show was no exception. Akira Tozawa and Buddy Murphy, those boys tore it up. Like, from the floor up, they tore it up. And I haven't been the biggest fan of the WWE Cruiserweight division, not because I think that the wrestling quality lacks at all, just because, I don't know, it doesn't do anything for me. I guess because 205 Live, I've watched maybe once. They don't really feature the Raw stars on, I mean, the Cruiserweight stars on Raw that much anymore. Or at least it wasn't like it was right post Cruiserweight Classic, where the Cruiserweights felt like a really big deal again. They've kind of been relegated to just a match maybe on Raw, but really 205 Live. So I haven't been all in on them, but I got to tell you, watching these guys work in person has really changed my mind. And I think I'm going to go out of my way to check out 205 Live on a regular basis, because Buddy Murphy, as soon as he, there's a weird thing about wrestling, especially when you've worked around it for a period of time like I have. You know, I'm going into my seventh year in the business. And when you see somebody in wrestling, when you see them come through the curtain, and this for me as a commentator, someone who writes and works around wrestling all the time, when you see somebody walk through the curtain, a lot of the times you can say, oh, yep, that's a star. You just know it. You can't explain it. I don't want to say it's the it factor or the X factor. It's just there's something about the way you walk through the curtain where you can tell, oh, they know what they're doing. They're a superstar. Buddy Murphy is a superstar. When he walked through that curtain, the crowd, even if you didn't watch 205 Live, which I'm sure I'm not the only one in an arena of 25,000, even if you didn't watch the show or even know that Buddy Murphy was the cruiserweight champion, when he walked through the curtain, you were like, oh, I want to watch this. I don't know who this guy is. I don't really know much about him, but I want to watch because this looks good. This looks interesting. And that's exactly what the match turned out to be. The crowd was there for every near fall, for every single part of that match. They were there. And then the finish was beautiful. These two worked well together. I want to see this more. I hope they continue this feud, because it's almost like Rey and Andrade. Sometimes people work so good together. And they work so good together that I want to see more of these matches. So, Buddy Murphy, you made a fan out of me, and you really changed my mind on the cruiserweight division, because I was not sold on it at all, you know, for the last couple of years. And that match, I'm not joking, that match turned around a lot for me. So shout out to Buddy Murphy and Akira Tozawa. Let's go into, though, the first proper match of the pay-per-view. It was the Tag Team Elimination Chamber match to crown the inaugural WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Let me say one thing. I know a lot of people were trying to be a little snarky toward WWE and being like, this isn't the first time there's been women tag team champions of the WWE, because if you go all the way back, there were the Bombshell Angels back in 1857, and they were really the WWF Women's Tag Team Champions. So if you want to be technical about it, this is shut the hell up. I hate it. I hate it that we just can't have anything nice. You know what I mean? Okay, so there were Women's Tag Team Champions before, but that was back in a whole different era. This is the first time there's been WWE World Tag Team Champions. Women's Tag Team Champions, I should say. If you want to be technical about it, guys, if you want to be real technical, there's your technicality. This is the first WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. But I digress. I was excited for this match. I thought it should have started out the chamber. You know, save the WWE. Let the WWE main event a show for once. What a novel concept. But you saw Nia Jax and Tamina versus the Riot Squad of Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, the Iconics of Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, and Bayley and Sasha, as well as Naomi and Carmella. Now, Naomi and Carmella seem like a random team, and I'm sure that they are. They're just kind of a team put together to be in this match. That's what it felt like, at least. But I gotta say, their team entrance of both wearing the glowing outfits, coming out to that song, doing the coordinated dance with each other, they were in perfect synchronization. This is what happens when you have two dancers going out there with each other. Sometimes that's all you need, you know? All you need is a great entrance. And you wonder, you know, if you're ever sitting at home and you're wondering, why are they on the show? You know, there are other people they could put in that spot. Something about that entertainment factor, man. And, you know, Carmella has gotten a lot better. And Naomi is pretty solid in the ring. But that entrance was what people paid to see. I know this sounds crazy, but that entrance, I was like, okay, I'm good. I like that. I don't need any more of that. I don't need any more than that. I really enjoyed that. But let's talk about the match. I thought as far as a women's tag team match could go in the Elimination Chamber, this was a lot of fun. You know, I didn't really know what to expect, but I loved that they're continuing playing up the storyline of Naomi and Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose, by the way, feels like a big deal. You know, just like I was saying about Buddy Murphy, how when she walks out of the curtain, people in the audience go, whoa. And you know what I mean? A lot of men in the audience are like, whoa, you know what I mean? But even the women in the audience are like, okay, who is this? You know? I met somebody last night for the first time, older man, had gray hair, gray beard, like white, not gray, white. He was a foreign man, had a bit of a like a soft accent. He was dressed in all black. I know who he was. Man looked like a star. And when I walked in the room, I was like, hey, who's that? Turns out he's some dude who works at TJ Maxx. But that's not my point. My point is he made me look. He made me wonder, is he somebody important? When Mandy Rose walks into the building, you're like, oh, who the hell is that? That's a star right there. And so, but I did love how they continue the story with Mandy and Naomi in this match. Bayley and Sasha, you know, fighting all the way through. And then Nia Jax and Tamina. Nia Jax and Tamina are a great tag team, and I think they're future tag team champions. They should keep these two together. But some of the bumps that they were taking, and then when Nia finally went through the pod, breaks, and they eliminate Tamina, it was just so well done. And then for it to come down to Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose and then Sasha and Bayley really shows you how high they are on Mandy and Sonya with her. I really think that that could be a feud that goes on to WrestleMania, you know? I think that we could see Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose versus Bayley, the Boston Hug connection at WrestleMania. And this is what I really like about these women tag team championships, because I think that with that and with what's going on with the Raw Women's Championship, I think that we're going to see more cross-pollination of the brands. And this is in a perfect scenario. And I've heard this pitched a bunch, so I don't want to take full credit for it, but in a perfect scenario, I would like to see the women's titles unify, the women's tag team titles, and then the tag team championships, men's tag team championships unify, and those championships can float to both shows. And I think that you have the women's roster on one, you know, the women's roster can float both shows and the tag roster. And then only the men are separated by brand. Like single stars are separated by brand. Everyone else floats. I like that idea, especially for the women at least, because there's not enough women in the company and they're all so good that I think to keep that division as on fire as it's been, you need to have them all be able to wrestle one another and have fresh matches all the time. I mean, even if you go back and you look at the Women's Royal Rumble from this year, there were a lot of people that from NXT and some other names, and you're like, okay, I wonder why they're here. It's just because there's not enough women on the show. You know what I mean? There's not as deep of a roster as there are men. And they're never really, I don't want to say never, but they're most likely never will be. So I would like to see that, and I think the Women's Tag Team Championships are a step in the right direction now, because I'm assuming that these titles are going to float, which I imagine they will, because they can't do Raw Women's Tag Team Championships and SmackDown Women's Tag Team Championships. It'd be way too much. Too many titles already. The less, the better. And I like that Sasha and Bayley, you know, they're the obvious choice to win this match. And they're the obvious choice because they're the right choice. I mean, you know, one half of the Four Horsewomen, they pioneered the women's movement. You know, the women's evolution in WWE, or at least they had a whole lot to do with it. So they were the right choice. And if you want to look back and say, who are the first women's tag team champions, Sasha and Bayley are the choices. And, you know, they were emotional afterward. The crowd gave them the you deserve it chance, and they did. They did deserve it. Let's go to Miz and Shane McMahon versus the Usos. Usos, you know, who trained at the Booker T Reality of Wrestling School here in Houston, Texas. I like the Miz a lot. And I like Shane a lot. And I want to say something real quick. A lot of people rag on Shane and say, well, he's not a real wrestler. He shouldn't be out there. How is he not a real wrestler? First of all, what is a real wrestler? I mean, a real wrestler is Kurt Angle. A real wrestler is Brock Lesnar. Those are real wrestlers. A real wrestler is Chael Sonnen, Ben Askren. Those are real wrestlers. We're talking about professional wrestlers. And Shane is a professional wrestler. He has psychology. He has a move set. He can move well, especially at an advanced age of, he's got to be nearing 50. He's definitely late 40s. Oh, here comes Cain Velasquez and Francis Ngannou. I'm watching the UFC on ESPN1, by the way. Main event's about to go off. I got Francis Ngannou, even though Booker and Sam Roberts had Cain Velasquez. But anyway, he's got the music. He's got the moves. He's got the charisma. He's got the character. He's got the psychology. He has the big death-defying bumps. How's a man not a wrestler? Back in the day, he was trained by Dr. Tom Pritchard, brother of Bruce. Worked Sean Waltman from at least what I, to my understanding, he worked Sean Waltman on a series of house shows back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Probably worked several hundred times within those, you know, couple of years. The man's a wrestler. He trained to be a wrestler. You just want to rag on him because he's Vince's son. I understand it. But Shane McMahon, The Miz, end up losing to the Usos. And the Usos become six-time tag team champions. I guess this is setting up something between The Miz and Shane McMahon. I would have liked them, if they are going to wrestle at WrestleMania, I would have liked them to remain tag team champions. You know, then you don't have to worry about having a tag team title match. You know, two tag team title matches or now three tag team title matches on the show. You could have done it like Eddie and Ray back in the day, except make it more of a heel versus face scenario. I was almost convinced that Shane was going to turn on The Miz after this match. But this was another just solid wrestling performance, the third of the night. And it was a trend that kept going on. So the Usos win. I don't know exactly what the plan's going to be, how they're going to turn Shane and Miz and make that a real angle. But I'm excited for it. And I think Shane McMahon at WrestleMania, look, man, he's done great things. He had a hell of a WrestleMania moment a couple years ago at WrestleMania 32 in Dallas when he jumped off the cell. He had maybe the match of the night with AJ Styles at WrestleMania 33. Last year, you know, he was going through stuff, but he was a part of the Daniel Bryan comeback. He's had big moments 3 years in a row at WrestleMania. So don't think that him working The Miz isn't going to be a big moment or they're going to make that thing work, because when Shane's out there and Miz, another guy who's so solid, his work is so good, he understands his character better than maybe anybody on that show right now. So they're going to make magic at WrestleMania, and I wish they would have kept the titles, but I get that they lost them. Then we go on to Bobby Lashley and Lio Rush versus Finn Balor. I didn't really like this one. I mean, it wasn't bad. I think Finn won. That was the right choice. I guess it was just really to get Lio Rush and Bobby Lashley away from each other so Bobby could come back later in the night and form what I think now is Evil Shield. So that was kind of the purpose of the match. But Finn Balor as IC champion going into WrestleMania. Last year at WrestleMania for the IC title, he, Seth Rollins, and The Miz tore the house down. Second best match on the show behind Ronda and Hunter with Steph and Kurt. So I think that him being the IC champ again, or is this the first time he won the championship? I think it's the second time. Did Finn win it before? I don't remember. But him being the IC champion is good. Somebody's yelling at me right now, I know, through Twitter. So let me look. Hold on. Finn Balor, championship pursuits. Let's see. Did he ever do it? No. 3 weeks later, Greatest Royal Rumble. He was money in the bank. No. Okay. No, he was. This is the first IC title win, I think. According to Wikipedia, this is his first IC title run. So congratulations to Finn. I think a good holder of that title. He's a good person to run with that one. And so I didn't really love the match, but Leo Rush took the fall. Bobby Lashley doesn't really look bad. He slams Leo after the match was over. Is what it is. Finn Balor wins the championship. Let's also move on to Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin. Fun match. No DQ. I thought that Braun would lose the match, and I assumed just from Drew McIntyre interference, but Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, they make their presence felt. This is setting up some six-man tag at WrestleMania, I'm sure, with Kurt Angle involved and one other guy, maybe Dolph Ziggler or something like that. So, hey, as far as that match on paper was supposed to play out, I think that it overachieved in some aspects. Let's talk about, though, Ronda Rousey versus Ruby Riott. Now, this match was kind of hastily put together, if I do say so myself. It didn't feel like that big of a deal, and I think all Ronda matches should feel like a big deal. This one didn't. I think it's because we all knew that Ruby Riott had not a snowball's chance in hell of winning, and that Ronda Rousey was definitely going to be the champion going into WrestleMania, and she's not going to lose the title on Elimination Chamber to Ruby Riott on a two-week build or less than two-week build. So I knew that we knew the result. I didn't know that it was going to be so quick. I don't have an official time on it, but it must have been like 3 minutes, three, 4 minutes. Ronda Rousey, though, coming out as Sonya Blade was dope. I enjoyed that. Here she goes. So she comes out, Sonya Blade, beats Ruby Riott, taps her real quick. Charlotte Flair sitting ringside. Charlotte Flair gets in the ring. They're having a little face-off because now Charlotte Flair, of course, is going to go one-on-one as it stands right now with Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. And then Becky Lynch comes through the crowd dressed, I don't know why I thought, she kind of was dressed like Kill Bill, like Uma Thurman, Kill Bill, kind of just inverted colors. She had the black and yellow. She's on crutches. She gets in the ring, and she starts whooping everybody's ass with the crutches. She was killing people, man. And let me pause right there. Because I'm not going to try to put them on blast, but I'm going to put them on blast. My compadres over here at Cage Side Seats, they tweeted this. The quote, man is limping on crutches. Why is this knee injury a thing? So, period, stupid, period. We didn't need this, period. She was O-V-E-R without this. Hashtag WWE Chamber. Give him a air horn. Then, I'm going to say this man's name, at DCAP2488, said, A. But it doesn't hurt things when she acts all badass, even on a bad leg. Oh, yeah, brother. I like that. Congrats to you. And then at Cage Side Seat said, but it does. To which my response was, how? How does that make her, how does that hurt things? How does it hurt things that she looks like a badass? I don't understand. I don't understand the complaint of Becky Lynch being injured. It's just one more thing for your conquering babyface to overcome. It doesn't matter that she's already over. That doesn't matter. We like to see somebody fight through adversity. So you suspend her. You make her seem like a badass because she doesn't want it. She doesn't care about the doctors. I'm going to fight even if I'm hurt. And then when you have her injured, it's easy to get sympathy on the baby face. It's like you've never watched wrestling before in your life. Do you know kind of what the heels do in a match? You know, against a baby face? Especially one as popular as that? You want to get heat on them. And what's an easy way to get heat? Oh, if the baby face is already injured. Oh, you know, kind of like, let's see, WrestleMania 30 with Daniel Bryan, where his shoulder was taped up because it was supposedly hurt. It's an easy way to get sympathy. And not even easy. It just adds to the story. Come on, at Cage Side Seats. Work with me, brother. We're working, brother. We're working here. Got to work with me, man. Use your noodle. All right? Okay. So that's what they said. I don't agree with that. I like the injury angle. And I wasn't sold on the three-way up until I started thinking about it. There's going to be a triple threat match, obviously, at WrestleMania. At first, I thought it was supposed to be a one-on-one, but now I understand. You don't want Ronda to be booed in the sense of a Roman Reigns versus Triple H or Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar in the main event of WrestleMania. You can't have another main event go out like that. So you have to have another element, and Charlotte is very hateable as a heel right now. And Ronda might be taking time off after, so you don't. If they know that too, they're going to extra boo her. So take some of the boos off of her, because Becky's so over, and put them on Ronda. I mean, put them on Charlotte. And this allows Charlotte to eat the fall in the match. Ronda never really loses, never been pinned or submitted in WWE, so when she comes back, she's still going to be a force and still have all her wits about her. Oh, man. Oh, wait. Hold on. Francis Ngannou taking out Cain Velasquez. Knockout. Knockout in 26 seconds. Can you see me now? Can you see me now? Oh, I called that one, brother. I called that one. I told Booker. I told Sam it's going to be Francis Ngannou. God, I love being right. I'm sorry, guys. That was a real life reaction right there. That's the sound of Booker T's prediction. Oh man, Kane is upset. Francis Ngannou with a dominant performance. Dominant performance. Anyway, sorry about that. Where was I? Oh, I like the injury angle. So Charlotte, being there, she can take the fall. And it just adds another element, adds some heel heat, and I like the Becky Lynch injury. Now, by the way, as it stands right now, I do have a couple replies to my how tweet. And let's see what it says. Somebody says, annoyedcritic.com. Oh, I wonder how this is going to go. Annoyed Critic says, it makes her look like she's weak and injury prone. How? It's also unbelievable. She just came out on one leg, bested two women. It's pro wrestling. 30 seconds prior, Rudy jobbed like Barry Horowitz to Rousey. I mean, she did kind of job to her. I'm not going to disagree there. Then he says, this is clumsy, stupid storytelling. That's just that's a guy who's an annoyed critic who just wants to be upset. That's all. That's all that is. He's a critic. Let's go look at some of his other tweets here. His last tweet before that was, I have no interest in watching a movie about the career of Paige. She lasted, what, 1 or 2 years before she went on? Okay, I'm not going to read this. You know what? This guy is an a-hole. Wow. Anyway. Yeah, he's a real jerk. Anywho, back on the point, I like this little set up here, and I'm excited now for the main event three-way. So let's move on. Let me wrap this thing up because I'm going on for far too long. To go back to what our conversation was on Heated Conversations last night with Sam and Book, we said that Kofi would be fun to be the world champion, WWE champion. We all agreed in that. And the crowd in Houston wanted to see Kofi after that great performance over 60 minutes on SmackDown. Great performance by Kofi. We all wanted to see it. And the way that they did this match was so good. This Elimination Chamber match was so good. You had Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Samoa Joe, and Kofi Kingston, all bona fide main eventers in my book. And this is how it went down. Samoa Joe goes out first. Then I believe it was Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy goes out next, followed by AJ Styles. But first off, that bump by Jeff Hardy, where he did the swanton onto the turnbuckle where AJ was laying, was nasty, man. That was gross. Like, it was good, but it was gross. It scared me. So Jeff goes, then AJ, then Randy. And then it was down to Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston. First off, the RKO out of nowhere on the phenomenal forearm was great. But Kofi and Daniel Bryan get the team ball tonight. They are so good. They work so good together. I want that to be the match at Fastlane. And that's my prediction. You'll see the WWE Championship defended, Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston in the main event of Fastlane. That's just a prediction. I could be way off on it, but that's what I'm thinking. They were so good together. The stories they told, the near falls were spectacular. They were so good. The near falls were so good. And nothing but love to Kofi Kingston, who there was, I was with the director of Reality Wrestling, Kevin Bernhardt. We were watching the show together. And I was convinced several times that Kofi was either going to win or going to lose. And I was very fluid in my choice. I thought that there's no way Daniel Bryan was going to lose the title. And then I think, but what if he does? The only reason I didn't want Kofi to beat Daniel is because I didn't want Kofi Kingston to win the WWE Championship. You know, and a lot of people would proclaim him to be the first black WWE champion, which would be an awesome thing to see. You know, I think there's still the debate about Rock and then Book and Mark Henry. But as far as, you know, mainstream goes, he would probably be promoted as the first, you know, WWE African-American champion. I thought that would have been awesome. But then think about that prestigious career-defining moment and you're holding up that wooden championship. You know, it wouldn't feel the same. It wouldn't feel the same. So I thought about that, but the match was so good. The false finishes, the Thunder in Paradise roll up, and then Daniel Bryan turns it around, almost rolls up. The yes lock there when Kofi got his hand on the ropes, which, by the way, didn't know that you could do that in an Elimination Chamber match. But when Daniel Bryan hit Kofi Kingston with that second flying knee, I knew that it was over, and then the 1-2-3 came. The thing about it, though, when the 1-2-3 came, crowd was quiet in Houston. They did not like that. We all wanted to see Kofi Kingston go out there and pull it off, and he didn't. But, you know, now the fans would want to see him win it just even more. And why not? Why not do Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania for the championship? Why not? Who's the heir apparent here? Who's the obvious choice for Daniel Bryan to go against at WrestleMania? There isn't one. So why not Kofi Kingston? Why? You tell me. You already have Brock versus Seth for the Universal Championship. The main event is going to be the Raw Women's Championship match, the Triple Threat. So why not Daniel Bryan, the new Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston? That's my prediction. Anyway, last thing I want to say before we wrap up. Last thing. The Elimination Chamber is better than the War Games match. I already got heat on Twitter for it, but think about it. The two rings, pointless. Two steel cages, pointless. Elimination Chamber, better than War Games. I'll have that debate with somebody on a later day. But tweet me, what's better? War Games, Elimination Chamber. At Brad Gilmore. See y'all next week, guys.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?